The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Coming your way from LSU, ahead of LSU Ole Miss. We got Joe Burrow's Heisman. What is going on?
Boogie?
What are you guys doing
here? It's a reunion. You know what? This is great. You know, I love the fact that you can accept, adjust, and move on, and meet us at LSU after we kind of whipped that butt last week.
You come right in with the smack top. Thank you so much.
Because it looks so good. Look what winning looks like.
Lots of winning.
It looks like. Beautiful. Yeah. You also go to the NFL from this place.
Yeah, a lot of that. And we'll be talking about that today, as well as the great slate on Sunday.
What you thought? I was just going to stop?
We're all playing less than what we're capable of.
We just can't keep beating ourselves up.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for you.
I'm completely internally motivated, excited to get back out there. Hey, let's go, let's shake it up.
Way too close, don't play around. We bring it late, we dominate.
I can make them shake, I can make them pop. I can make them roll, I've been on a roll, I've been on a watch. Claiming I'm your op.
Get back to business.
Come on, big timing.
A special NFL Live on a Friday. You're looking at Death Valley in the Tiger's eye. That's where 7th-ranked Ole Miss takes on the LSU Tigers tomorrow. We're in town for SEC Nation, but also for NFL Live. And what an incredible opportunity with our guys coming home. Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears. They're back. Guys are back in town.
How you doing? Hey, Sway.
We in the quad. I used to kick it with my wife. Went right over there. Girl, you gonna marry me?
That's not what he was asking. I was here too.
Oh, it's been fun even just being on campus with you guys. Of course, a couple legends here, and they call it LSU, but it also should be NFLU. I mean, the amount of guys that come out of here, right? It's crazy.
Makes a lot of sense. Program is in great standing.
Yep.
It's a great place to play football. If I could just sell LSU for a second.
I mean,
wonderful place.
It truly should
sell itself. Every time you turn the TV on Sunday, there isn't a game that happens in the NFL where you don't say, this play was made by such and such who went to LSU. And other than that, it's the greatest people in the world. It's the greatest fans in the world. And you can look at swag and know it's the greatest food in the world.
Yeah, he's going to be getting some of that food a little bit later. More from these guys around LSU, but certainly around the NFL slate as well. But we begin with one of our top stories, news that broke late last night with Adam Schefter, Christian McCaffrey now with the 49ers, Adam.
Well, Laura, the trade is now official. Christian McCaffrey arrived in San Francisco earlier today, has passed his physical with the 49ers. He has been assigned number 23, one up from the 22 he wore in Carolina. And now the question will become, does he play on Sunday versus the Kansas City Chiefs? Kyle Shanahan said that decision is still up in the air, hasn't decided, but right now the 49ers are just happy to have worked out this deal and beaten out the Los Angeles Rams for the services of Christian McCaffrey. If we look back over recent seasons, the 49ers and Rams have gone head-to-head vying for so many of the same players. Both teams were interested in Matthew Stafford. The Rams got him. Both teams were interested in Odell Beckham Jr. The Rams got him. Both teams were interested in Christian McCaffrey. This time, the 49ers prevailed. And so Christian McCaffrey's last game as a Carolina Panther came against the Los Angeles Rams. And if he doesn't play this Sunday, his first game for the 49ers will also be against the Los Angeles Rams.
It's funny how it works out that way. It will be interesting to see if he ends up playing. It's a really important game against the Chiefs. Thanks to Adam for all the latest on this news. We'll keep our eye on exactly more of the clarity and whether or not we see him this weekend in his 49ers number 23. Over the last five seasons, Christian McCaffrey leads all players in yards after the catch per game. He joins the 49ers, who have two players in Deebo Samuel and George Kittle that also both rank top four in that area over that span. You got to think Shanahan fans salivating over this. With these three guys on the same team, we can only expect to see more yak in the Bay Area. Marcus, what did you think when you saw this trade?
First of all, I love when you lean into yak.
Got to lean into it, you know?
The first thing I thought was Jimmy Garoppolo the luckiest man on earth,
yeah.
Right? Like, and you think about the San Francisco offense, and we talk about this all the time when we together about the versatility, how difficult it is mm-hmm. for to defend Kyle Shanahan, regardless of how good you are up front. He always seems to eliminate your best defensive player or put him in a bind. Now you got guys that you can flip the field with, right? We know Debo is devastating, and when you're a defensive coordinator, you got to go and you got to devise a game plan that starts with getting him on the ground, but more importantly, all of the positions he lines up in. Mm-hmm. Now you add that with Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. So you are opening up 53 and a third, which is the width of a football field, even more to a team that already made you go east and west and play very uncomfortably.
Also, too, let's take the numbers away from these guys. Let's take away Brandon Ayuk's 11. Let's take away the 19 from Debo Samuel. Let's take away now the 23 from Christian McCaffrey, and they can all do so much of the same things. And so now it doesn't matter what formation you come out in. You can have guys in each position that could get the football out of Jimmy Garoppolo's hand extremely early and allow them to be players and athletes in space.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. And think about this, right? Like everybody has, we all have our neighborhoods, right? We have our homeowners associations. when you're driving down the street in your neighborhood or you're around the corner and somebody does something to their yard, it doesn't really affect you. But when your neighbor does it, it's different, right?
Yeah.
That's when Yonk comes inside and say, you know what? We should do something with our bushes. And I'm like, why? Well, so-and-so next door did it. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, you got to watch the Los Angeles Rams build a team through trades. And now they've gone out and done the same thing with Christian McCaffrey, and I believe it's a slam dunk.
And the Panthers get some draft picks, too, on this. We'll get to their side
to
later.
To RC's point, like, dude, when we look at the NFC, it's wide open.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, this could be a shifting move for the San Francisco 49ers.
Even
I believe
with
it is.
The injury history of McCaffrey?
Absolutely, I believe it is, because now you don't have to be the bell cow one. We know how much of that offense he made up for in Carolina. And now he's back in familiarity. I don't think a lot of people are really taking that into account. You know, you and I and me and RC has talked about this before. Sometimes the change of scenery is more than just football, right? So when you look at Christian McCaffrey, you look at this system, which gives him more room to operate, as opposed to eight-man boxes being stacked up against you when you're in Carolina, because you are the offense. Debo takes pressure off of him. Ayuk takes pressure off of him. Kittle takes pressure off of him. And then he's back on the West Coast. RC, we all want to be on the West Coast.
It's not even about being the West Coast. This is what I love. He gets to walk into that building and be like, what up, Uncle Kyle?
Yes.
Right? Like, you forget, like, his pops played for Big Shanahan. Right. And now you're playing for Kyle Shanahan. This is somebody you've known, somebody that's going to want to see you succeed. And the other piece of it is, if you're the San Francisco 49ers and you're thinking about injuries, guess what happens if he gets hurt? You're no worse off than you were before you traded.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But if he's playing, if he's healthy, you're a much better team that's so much harder to defend, and you've now taken more pressure off of your quarterback who you tried to draft out of there last year anyway.
And think about the success of the backs we didn't know.
Breida.
In San Francisco.
Mostert.
Pick him.
Like
Elijah
system,
Mitchell coming out.
That'll make a lot of running backs look great.
Now you had Christian McCaffrey.
It seems like a great fit. More on this 49ers-Chiefs matchup a little bit later on the show. Again, Adam telling us that we don't know for sure if McCaffrey's going to play. Let's get back to the beginning of week 7, which is last night with the Cardinals playing against the Saints. And in this one, of course, everybody's excited because that guy's back. Mm. DeAndre Hopkins. How did you see his impact play out early on?
Immediately. Opened up the field. Kyler Murray looked much more comfortable. He understood when a play broke down, I need to find my guy. And even in the second half, when they really made it a point to get it in Hop hands, the game shifted and changed.
Yeah, he would end up finishing with 10 catches, 103 yards. Now, here was a key moment. Mm-hmm. Confusion and miscommunication in the red zone there for the Cardinals. They'd have to take a timeout. And you see, Kyler Murray is upset. He's exchanging words with Cliff Kingsbury. We'll get into this in moments, as well as the explanation from both sides about what happened here. After the temper settled, first and goal, and Keontae Ingram runs it up the middle for the 2-yard score, Cardinals would get the 2-point conversion to tie the game at 14. Ensuing Saints possession, Andy Dalton
Andy.
Picked off.
This ain't Andy Falk.
That ain't Andy Falk.
But watch this athleticism in the end zone. Yum. That's a Florida Gator.
That's when you're young.
We love it. Yeah, thank you for that shout out. The duality of man, as Mina Kimes pointed out. You see Andy there, and then you got some guy just trapezing in the air. Next drive for the Saints. Dalton thrown over the middle. This time, Isaiah Simmons able to pick it off. Return for another pick six. Cardinals defense coming up big. They extend their lead 28-14. They go on to win it 42-34. And here's the guys talking about the heated exchange.
Yeah, he said I didn't look good on TV, acting that fiery. So he said, I don't know, I guess it's a Gen Z thing. You're on TV, so calm down. I'm like, I like showing emotion. So when you have competitors that have a level of intensity like that, I think it'll keep pushing us forward.
He's real animated over there on the sideline sometimes. So it's always, you know, it's never, you know, calm down, we're good. You know, we're going to make it right. We ended up scoring, so that was good. But, yeah, that's all I was saying. Just chill out.
Yeah, I mean, we got what you were saying, Kyler. It just maybe was the way
it
that you said it.
It was a little bit more to chill out.
What did you make of the heated exchange?
First off, we've all been in arguments, and we all tell our significant others, hey, listen, it ain't what you say, but how you say it.
Yeah!
You can say the same thing two different ways, and it's a different reaction from me.
Totally.
But when you look at what Kyler and Cliff were dealing with, I actually don't have an issue with it. And that's because I've been in locker rooms. It's because I understand relationships. Now, those two individuals have to understand their relationship as well, and also be aware of how they have to deal with perception. The thing I like about it is this. Kyler is upset. Kyler is showing emotion, which we don't see from Kyler Murray very often, but Cliff Kingsbury was the adult in the room.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury said, you know what? I can't fire back at Kyler. He has to go back out on the field and perform. They had the conversations. They were able to move on, and this team played well going forward. Now what needs to happen is we need to have a conversation in my office, or we can have it at your house, or we can have it over dinner about how we move forward from this, and this never happens.
I think it's vital what RC said about the relationship, because the one thing Cliff Kingsbury has to make sure of that the lines don't get blurred. Because we all know that quarterbacks have different relationships with head coaches, ownership, general managers. That's just the way of the league. And the perception publicly is what you have to defend against, because everything has been creeping into Arizona. You've been losing,
right,
not having a lot of success. The conversation has shifted away from Kyler because of the contract, and now it's about Cliff's job. So now it's about the rapport and respect that the world sees, that everybody else thinks about how you and Kyler operate together.
You noticed something about D-Hop in the post-game press conference.
Yeah.
What stood out to you?
Well, so D-Hop in the post-game press conference says, I called a player-only meeting. This is a guy that missed the first six games due to suspension, and he said, I made sure Kyler spoke first. I felt like that was extremely important for our team to see him as a leader. And then now you go out and see the fiery reaction that he has in the red zone, and then this team goes to win. At some point, we had to stop talking about clauses and contracts and Kyler underperforming and start talking about him leading this football team. And this could be the week and the moment that leads to that.
I'm wholeheartedly in agreement with you, RC, because one thing showed up for me when it came to Kyler, and I've watched him sit on the bench and get quiet when things are going bad. It mattered to him.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it came out, it mattered to him. And then you go out and have success as well. I think the big thing for the Arizona Cardinals moving forward, especially when it comes to Cliff and Kyler, you just have to make sure, like I said, those lines aren't blurred and it gets to a level of disrespect.
They should also be thanking D-Hop for being the voice of reason within that exchange
100%.
As well.
As the best player.
Right up
all
in
around
there,
Kyler, in
totally.
Between the both, he allowed that situation to not affect the team going
forward. You saw his presence on the field and certainly off. And, yeah, we do that all the time. That's actually
true.
More true than we'd like to admit. Okay, NFL Live. Carries on from Baton Rouge. And, of course, these guys find a way to show their LSU alums some love. RC says none more deserving than Burrow and Chase with the resurging Bengals. It's all about Go Tigers. Plus, more on superstar running back Christian McCaffrey taking his talents to the Bay. Is it enough to make the 49ers the NFC favorite? We will discuss. NFL Live is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. We'll be back with more from Baton Rouge.
FanDuel.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You Tigers are the damn national champions.
I have to be a Tiger. However long we're doing this, we can't even.
Bro, we've been here before.
LSU has scored on the Marcus Spears interception.
Roar!
That's a 5-star. That's a 5-star.
Professionalism was the last thing I was thinking about.
Lord, this is freaking hilarious.
Let us have our shine. Go Tigers.
Louisiana State Gooniversity.
Look at these LSU boys. Man, y'all had some good numbers. You know what? I had some numbers on you guys. I got to load these up for a second. Give me 1 second
here. I got
numbers on y'all. All right, listen to this. Marcus Spears, 9 sacks and 17 tackles for a loss in 2004. Hey. Both rank in top 5 for single season marks in program history. He ranks top 10 all time in sacks and tackles for loss in program history. And Ryan Clark's 315 career tackles are tied for the 7th most in program history. Look at y'all,
too. Why nobody wasn't tackling?
RC, look at me. Look at my thigh.
Yeah, that's how you get a lot of...
It's meaty.
Tackles
meaty.
For loss. All right.
You got to be thick thigh to
All
make
right.
plays.
So, yeah, the thickness worked out. So here's... since we're back home in Baton Rouge, we got to give some love to some LSU guys that went on to play in the pros. And let's begin with some matchups that you're looking out for this week with some of these players. Marcus, you start us off.
Yeah, for me, it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire going against this San Francisco defense. Listen, he's been involved, and Kansas City has shown a commitment to get their backs involved, not only handing the ball off, but in the pass game. So I'm understanding now how this offense is needing to operate because of the offensive weapons that they have at wide receiver. These backs are making up for a lot of this offense in the passing game. I think CEH has a big one. Mm.
Listen, I'm excited to see Kwon Alexander as he faces the Denver Broncos, and I'm mostly just pointing out his contributions to what this defense is. He is running sideline to sideline, been a physical hitter the entire season, and also the way that they use him in coverage on backs and tight ends inside the numbers shows how versatile he is and also some of the athleticism that he possesses. Kwon Alexander is a major part of a New York Jets team that we have to start paying attention to, and I expect him to play well because every defense does against the Denver Broncos this year.
I'm going to my man Patrick Queen in Baltimore. Listen, this is the ultimate test against Nick Chubb in this run game from the Cleveland Browns. And he is going to be on notice because you got to get him stopped. Athletic linebacker had an interception last week. He's starting to come into his own and kind of carry that tradition of Baltimore Ravens middle linebackers. But this is a division opponent. This is a big game, and we know what Cleveland wants to do. They want to get the ball in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt's hands. Nobody's job as important as Patrick Queen's this week.
It's really important to see what Leonard Fournette can be against the Panthers this week. He's been huge in the run game, but also catching passes for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady has used him, utilized him, and made sure that he had the football in his hands. But you know what I was thinking about when I think about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? I thought to myself, what's better than having one Tiger? Having three Tigers! It's Russell Gage, it's Leonard Fournette, it's Devin White, and when you're on this campus, and when you're in the quad, you know what it's like to have that Tiger on your helmet. We are blitzing. We are catching. We are blocking. We are running. It don't matter. It's going to start tomorrow against Ole Miss, and then it's going to finish on Sunday. I messed up my mic. It's all right, my dog. It's going to
okay.
be cool.
It's okay.
It ain't true.
We'll get your mic fixed as we carry on here. How about
I feel
this
like a
combo?
At a mega church.
You killed that. Yeah, rip that up and just throw it somewhere. Ooh, it's the only way to go. We're hyped now.
Why you didn't tell me you was about to do that?
I'm sorry.
He had to hit you with it out of nowhere.
It felt like what happened the day before we won the championship, and then we went on the next morning smoking cigars at 2020.
And I got a confession to make. I got a confession to make. I had a little bit too much yak that night.
Yeah, you did. That was an interesting morning on Get Up. We got through it, and we told a lot of great stories that maybe we didn't remember. All right, how about this combo of former LSU players as we look at our smart lineup decisions provided by IBM Watson? Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase look to continue the success they had against the Saints last week as they face the Falcons in this one. One of the better games this weekend, and the Bengals are 3-1 in their last four games. Big reason for that has been the play of Joe Burrow, just being a dude and stepping up. Since week three, Burrow ranks sixth among all quarterbacks in total QBR and second in touchdown to interception ratio, throwing 9 touchdowns to just 1 interception. The only quarterbacks to throw more touchdowns than Burrow over that span are Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. That's right where you want to be.
That's good company.
Yeah.
So, RC, for Burrow to get the ball in this matchup against the Falcons and the Bengals' defense, they're going to have to handle this Falcons' run game that's been really, really good. How do they do that? Make sure their offense has a chance.
Well, I mean, the first thing is, and, you know, Marcus and I, we were all talking about it on the call, the Atlanta Falcons have one of the more versatile run games in the entire NFL. And it starts with Marcus Mariota.
Absolutely.
It's so different when your quarterback can use his legs to create plays and you can run options and he has opportunities to get outside the pocket. The other piece of that is go back to the Baltimore Ravens game against the Cincinnati Bengals and watch those 2 runs late by Lamar Jackson. Defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo from the Cincinnati Bengals told me during camp they have 2 days strictly dedicated to the run game of the Baltimore Ravens, and you're going to see a lot of that against the Atlanta Falcons. And if they don't stop it, if they aren't disciplined, they could be in trouble. But Marcus, I want to ask you, what type of bind does it put you in when an offensive run game has so much versatility?
Well, you know, earlier this month we had an 8-minute conversation about being under center, play action, making things look the same and using different plays out of it. But when you have an athletic quarterback, RC, it puts the ends especially in a bind because you got to make a decision. You have some coaches that want to attack the mesh point to make the guy make a quick decision. Some coaches want to slow play it to make sure you try to confuse the quarterback on whether to give or take. And then athleticism. We always talk about the RPO, but we fail a lot to mention how much space is created before the actual play develops. Mm-hmm. And we see that with Philly because Jalen is obviously athletic. And the thing, I need a lot of people to start paying attention. This is in the vein of Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith wants to run the football. Coming from Tennessee. Mariota was in Tennessee. Yeah. And this is the best way for this team to win. They had Tampa on their heels before the Greater Jericho. Last week, we saw them have a tremendous amount of success against the 49ers. The Bengals have all of their hands full dealing with this run game.
You know, it's funny because I think people thought Mariota was being brought in as kind of a stopgap. Now it feels like he's perfect for this system.
Absolutely.
And Arthur Smith knew exactly what he was doing with that.
Absolutely.
Let's pick this game. Who are you taking?
You know what? I forgot.
You're taking the Bengals.
I'm taking the Bengals. I am. Taking the Bengals 26-20. After listening to Marcus, I actually convinced myself that I might need to go the other way.
Hey, if you want to switch, you can.
No, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here.
Okay, cool.
I got the Bengals.
Should we pick the Falcons?
Help us.
Okay, well, I was going to pick the Bengals, but I think I'll pick my Falcons because y'all have me convinced. I'm from Atlanta, and listen, I've been impressed by the Falcons. This isn't a stretch of a pick.
It's really not. It's really not.
Sorry to do that to y'all, but I just picked the Falcons. I changed it. It's all good. Sorry, Michelle.
You had convinced me.
And by the way, odds makers, I know. He's like, I forgot my pick because you changed my mind. Odds makers with you guys on this game, they favor Cincinnati by 6.5 points. We got more coming your way on NFL Live from Baton Rouge. And we get into plenty of the chatter about the timing of Tua's return. But hear why one Dolphins teammate says when he's in there, they're just different. Stay tuned. You're watching NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Back for more from LSU as they get ready to take on Ole Miss. NFL Live carries on.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's our Week 7 Monday Night Football matchup. The Bears in Foxborough to take on the 3-3 Patriots, who've won two straight. Mac Jones is expected to play in this one at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Peyton and Eli also back on ESPN2. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6. Let's get some updates on some key injuries as we head into Week 7, the remainder of it. Jeremy Fowler is with us. Let's begin with Jonathan Taylor, Jeremy.
Laura, Jonathan Taylor is off the injury report. He is good to go to play Sunday against the Titans. I'm told from a source that Taylor is very strict about following his body. Last 2 weeks, didn't feel close to 100%. Figured, why put myself out there? But now much closer to 100%, which means he is ready for contact in a divisional rival game. Matt Ryan doesn't have to throw 58 times this week like he did last week against Jacksonville. He's got his top running back back. Let's go to Russell Wilson. I just spoke to a source who said that Wilson split reps evenly with backup Brett Rypien today, did more and more throughout the week on that hamstring issue, but he is a game time decision, listed as questionable. The team's going to see how he feels tomorrow, so not a slam dunk he plays, but Russell does badly want to play, help Denver get out of this rut. Never missed a game until last year, so this is a guy who plans to be out there in full. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Got Kenny Pickett. He has cleared concussion protocol. This is a bit surprising because he practiced in full all week, almost as if nothing happened. But the league average on return from concussion protocol has been 9 days this year. A lot of Steelers have missed games with concussion protocol, so perhaps he had little to no symptoms and is good to go. That's good news for Pittsburgh. They will tell Pickett to do what he's been doing, which is sling it downfield. Don't be afraid to stretch it. Now let's go to the last one. Tua, similar situation with the concussion protocol, but he's missed a few weeks. We all saw the hit, but I'm told he's had no setbacks really throughout the entire process. He went through full practice. The last check mark really was for him to practice today in full and look good and feel comfortable like he had been in previous days. Everything looked really good. And so the Dolphins could establish the run a little more, maybe move the pocket at times to protect him at all costs from taking another hit. But I'm told otherwise there are really no setbacks or preventions here. They're going to let him go do his thing.
Yeah, it'll be great to see him back out there and hope for the best. Thanks to Jeremy for all the information there. Let's continue with Miami and Tua Tagovailoa. The drop-off from quarterback play between Tua to Teddy Bridgewater and Skylar Thompson has been huge this season. You see it there. The two combined to throw 3 touchdowns to 4 interceptions, and both their QBRs significantly below Tua. That's also because Tua was great early this season, posting an 80 total QBR, which still stands still as the highest mark in the NFL entering week 7, despite the time that he's missed. Here's Raheem Mostert, his teammate, with RC on the pivot, talking about Tua's return.
Greatest podcast in the land.
He just comes back, and it's just like an aura around the whole huddle. Like, we had practice with him earlier today, and, like, you could just tell the aura and, like, the demand that he's asking throughout his players, like, his teammates, his brothers. Like, it's different. Like, y'all know that huddle. Y'all know that guy that come in, and y'all like, oh, yeah, we got to rally around this guy. That's definitely Tua. And I'm excited, man. You know, we got a good game coming up this week. So it's going to be a great opportunity for not only him, but for the whole team to bounce back and get back to what we know, what we've been able to do.
You know, RC, I found this fascinating because there are the people who have doubted Tua and questioned him, questioned his leadership, some of the things. And that certainly dispels all of it. Yeah. What did you take away from Raheem?
I was shocked.
And, you know, I know you guys had opportunity to cover him and work with him, but I never had that opportunity. Yeah. You kind of only could see from the outside or listen to some of the things you heard from people who necessarily weren't in the locker room. And you could see it on Raheem's face when he talked about Tua Tagovailoa, that he believes in him. And I think back to the fourth quarter against Baltimore. I think back to the Buffalo game, fighting through that injury, which obviously we know now we wish he wouldn't have. Yeah. But we saw how that drew the team closer to him, how they now know that that's their guy. And after playing with Skyler, after playing with Teddy Bridgewater, and to have Tua Tagovailoa back in that huddle, the one thing that struck me, he said, you can tell what he demands from the rest of the people in right. that huddle. You don't get to demand anything from grown men unless you earn it. And Tua Tagovailoa has earned it in that locker room in Miami.
I think you make a great point, RC, and I would love to lament on his impact from a psychological standpoint. But I want to focus because unfairly he was judged before he even had a sample size.
You're right.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, you're right.
And you
bro.
See within this system with Mike that he's able to pinpoint accuracy is his superpower. Right. We talked about that at Alabama, speaking of covering him. And now when you have a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle and a Mike Gesicki, it's no coincidence that Miami is good in the red area.
Right.
Because Tua is accurate.
He is,
and he
bro.
Understands how to get these guys the ball. And I talked about this a few days ago. You don't know what you have until it's gone. And Tua had enough of a sample size for not only the Miami Dolphins fans, but everybody around the league to understand how this offense yeah. is going to operate. And then you saw the reverse with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to throw shade to Teddy Bridgewater. No. You cannot operate this offense without an accurate quarterback that can get the ball.
It's supposed to look different.
That's how it's supposed to look.
How much of the Tua stuff, though, is the other guys that were drafted with him, Joe Burrow and Justin
Absolutely.
Herbert?
Absolutely.
It is.
Yeah, the pressure.
Right. I mean,
you speak to that, for sure.
You pick Tua at 5 and Justin Herbert right after him, and you know that the Dolphins pass on Justin Herbert. That's going to follow him. But yeah. I do think it's worth pointing out that Tua is not some huge rah-rah leader. You don't see that out of him, but yet he is a leader that I think is respected.
Yes.
And we're finally seeing a coaching staff that builds him up to be
That's
that
true.
As well, which I think is key. All right, the Steelers, can they stay consistent? You think we heard the news that Kenny Pickett cleared concussion protocol, should be good to go. Is it going to be more of what we saw last week or more of what we've seen earlier in the season?
You know what? I don't necessarily know if they play as well as they played last week, but Marcus understands, like, you have to build that confidence. It was a great response to what we saw in Buffalo, and I believe Coach Tomlin will coach them the same way. He'll continue to talk about the ways that they lost or the things that they didn't do as well as they should have against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
yeah.
but it's going to be difficult against the Miami Dolphins, but I think they have the coach to do it, and also leaders like Cam Hayward who understand what the Steeler way truly is.
Who are you picking?
The Steelers! You ain't got to tell me, Shale. I got my paper in front of me, and I picked that one from the heart. You know what? The LSU being on campus, it bought the homer out of
yeah.
me.
Yeah, Spears. You pick homer.
And at least if I lose, everybody in Pittsburgh will be like, RC picked us.
Yep. You only got him winning by 1 point. I mean, it's a good pick. Okay, what
Absolutely
you
Absolutely glad
Steelers
you admitted
Dolphins.
You a homer, so yeah. I'm not alone
Fine
anymore.
With me.
Okay, I'm taking the Dolphins. All right,
nice.
And my bad, dog. You do this to me with the Cowboys
okay,
all the time.
I respect that.
I'm taking the Dolphins 20-17. I think Tua coming back not only is going to make this team better offensively, but it's going to change the psychology.
Yeah.
Like, this team realized he's our leader. That's our guy. So you heard Mostert talk about him glowingly. Tyreek Hill might have not been lying. Tyreek Hill might have saw something in Tua in practice that everybody else saw outside
Love
of
it.
The Mahomes thing. I got the Dolphins.
Okay, I'm taking the Dolphins, too. And ESPN's Football Power Index agrees with us. The Dolphins are favored by a touchdown in this game. Let's get to some other game picks for this week. RC, Giants versus Jags. Who you taking?
Listen, I'm going with the Giants. I am drinking all of the Kool-Aid that Brian Daboll is making. And he's not making that Kool-Aid that's not full of sugar. He is pouring it like we saw on House Party. He is doing such a great job of making this team believe in themselves, continue to fight, and find ways to win games toward the end with making crucial plays and situational football moments.
That thing got so much sugar in it, it clump up. Okay, listen, I got Jets and Broncos, and guess what, America? I'm taking the Jets because they are good. That's a good football team, man. I think defensive line-wise is where they are going to dominate. We saw the Denver Broncos offensive line struggle struggled mightily against the Los Angeles Chargers the last time out. This ain't the team you want to play with a struggling offensive line. Russ hamstring may not be mobile enough. Yeah. Quinnen Williams, Sheldon Rankins, Carl Lawson, Franklin Myers, they coming. And this defense on the back end is just as good as anybody with sauce.
Hey, look to me. I'm going to take the Chargers over the Seahawks. And we just watched the Chargers play one of the worst games we've ever seen against the Denver Broncos. But in the end, Justin Herbert found a way to make a play to win the game. Also, when you look at the blitz package that was deployed by the Los Angeles Chargers defensively, it really affected Russell Wilson. So I expect them to come after Geno. But I've seen Geno make plays throughout the season. The Chargers have a little bit too much offense for the Seahawks to overcome.
And then the Colts Titans, I'm taking the Colts. Earlier this year, I said Matt Ryan looks like Tom Brady's age. And now Matt Ryan is starting to place the ball really well. He's understanding this offense, kind of getting Frank Reich off that hot seat when you start trying to interchange these quarterbacks, figuring out offensively, but defensively. DeForest Buckner is the one that
Monster.
I think it's a great group of D tackles playing in this game. I think Buckner might have the best day, even though Simmons and Archery is on the other side of the ball. I got the Colts in this one.
Up next, guess who's back? Dak is back. Let's talk about the Cowboys.
Let's talk about the boys, baby. Let's talk about
Marcus is going to tell us just how much of the load Dak should have to carry in order for the Cowboys to be in the win column. You're watching NFL Live, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Welcome
we'll be right back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coming this week on Sunday NFL Countdown, we're going one-on-one with Daniel Jones, who has the Giants off to their best start in more than a decade. Plus, as the Dolphins celebrate the 50th anniversary of their perfect season, a can't-miss story you have to see to believe. Kick off your Sunday with us on NFL Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
So glad you're with us for NFL Live from Baton Rouge. Limelight is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. Live la vida más fina. Look at Tiger Stadium,
at
y'all.
Oh my
goodness.
Gorgeous.
Death Valley is where it all goes down. This is a little late afternoon game tomorrow with Ole Miss coming into town. And listen, the Rebels might be the seventh-ranked team. The Tigers are the 1.5-point
favorite. We don't care
favorite.
About all that. We don't
yeah,
care
well,
about
you
all
don't
that
need to,
here.
You know?
Look at that. Look at that stadium. I know you're a Florida Gator, but it's something.
No, I love it here. Like, I'll fully admit that.
Okay.
It's part of the reason why I willingly or somewhat non-willingly wore a tiger mask on TV earlier.
It was such a
or
cute
it could have been because you lost the bet.
Only you could make
I
it work.
Lose a bat. Yeah. That, you know what? I should have brought the mask. I left it at home. It's going to be my Halloween costume. All right, time to read and react to some of the latest news around the NFL, guys. We start in Dallas, where Dak Prescott expected to return this week against the Lions. You see him right there. He's been out at practice, and he said himself he was going to be playing. Here's Mike McCarthy on how he will know Dak is back to form.
Yeah, rhythm and timing. That's the biggest thing, and it's you know, it's a challenge to it's a challenge to grab that in this shorter period of time.
I mean, you got to get ahead of him mentally, take those mental reps, and then when you get out there, you just go through. Practice obviously helps, just getting the speed of everything, the timing, and I feel like I put myself in a good spot, had a good practice today, and just excited just to get back out there.
It's been a while since we've seen him out there. What do you expect from Dak's first game back from injury?
I expect the game to come to Dak, and that is exactly what you need to do. You talk about this in basketball all the time. You start in, and then you extend range. And I believe Kellen Moore needs to put him in that situation. We saw with Cooper Rush using the play action, using the run game, and he was throwing to wide receivers that had a lot of space. He has a rapport with CD, Michael Gallup, obviously, and Noah Brown. The team is better with Dak at quarterback,
yeah.
But I think he needs to let the game come to him. And then when you need those plays, you got your $40 million man.
On to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who have struggled in the fourth quarter of games this season. Ugh. Jackson actually ranks 28th in QBR, throwing one touchdown to four interceptions in the fourth quarter, while Baltimore has been outscored by a league-worst 42 points. Here's Jackson this week on the Ravens' struggles late.
You know, our attitude, you know, we pissed off about losing. Everyone is, you know, our fans pissed off, you know, all of us pissed off, but at the same time, you know, we can't dwell on it. You know, got to move on, get focused on the Browns. And the young guys, you know, they dialed in as well. You know, everybody focusing up. You just ready to go out there and put on the show, you know, because we so mad. Real talk.
RC, how did the Ravens get the late game struggles turned around against the Browns this week?
Well, the first thing is I love Lamar. I love Lamar because he wants to take everything on his shoulders in the fourth quarter. The Ravens can't allow him to do that. The Ravens have to help him out. Someone needs to make a play defensively. There's a running back. There's a wide receiver who needs to come up and get yards after the catch or yards after the touch to allow Lamar Jackson to not have to put everything on his shoulders where he feels like he has to hold the ball in the pocket and Kayvon Thibodeau hit it out or throw interceptions late in games.
I'd love to see him turn it around. It's been a little bizarre to see him sort of crumble late in these games. Time for our FanDuel Sportsbook same game parlay, and for this we go to Marcus. All right, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of 49ers and Chiefs. Marcus, will Patrick Mahomes have over 275 pass yards versus the 49ers?
It'll be under, and I know this is almost blasphemous saying this about Patrick Mahomes, but I'm going to show some respect to D'Amico Ryans and the San Francisco 49ers defense, and I believe Kansas City needs to be balanced in order to win this game.
How about Devontae Adams, will he have over 80 receiving yards against the Texans for the Ravens?
Over,
I mean, for the Raiders?
Over. Are they playing? Are they going to play the game? Because if they're going to play the game, he's going to have more than 80 yards. We saw him and Derek Carr finally have that explosion against Kansas City. My man Derek Stingley going to have his hands full.
Oh, goodness.
But Devontae going to get open enough.
That's a good little LSU shout out.
Yeah,
a little matchup there.
Man.
Okay, how about Chargers Seahawks? Will Austin Eckler score a touchdown against the Seahawks?
Austin Eckler will score a touchdown against the Seattle Seahawks because they're going to give him the ball 100 times. Like, that's what has been the theme of the Los Angeles. Yeah, that's been the theme of the Los Angeles Chargers over the last 3 weeks. He's a vital part to this offense, especially absent of Keenan Allen. Austin Eckler gets in the end.
Yeah, he scored 6 touchdowns since week 4. That's the most in the NFL.
And whoever wins, let me hold something.
Okay, you heard our picks. Now you can use those or make your own to build a same game parlay with FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook.
I'm about to get in the gym.
Look at these legends.
I'm going to get back in the gym.
Okay, yeah, you're going to get swollen again?
Yeah, I want to be sexy.
Sounds good. It's still to come. Patrick Mahomes is, well, Patrick Mahomes. He may have fallen to the Bills, but hear why someone here thinks he'll be just fine against the banged-up Niners. We'll be right back with more NFL Live from LSU. Stay with us.
Go.
NFL Live is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Look at Mike the Tiger coming out there.
You see him? You see him?
Ooh, that's fierce.
Hungry.
Ferocious.
Hungry.
Okay, let's get back to some big news. After Sunday's loss to the Rams, a dejected Christian McCaffrey said, quote, "All I want to do is win," end quote. Well, he may get his chance. Traded to San Francisco late last night, and here's just moments ago his new head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Listen to this.
I think he's a real good player in every system. That's John. Any really good player is a perfect player for our system. But he's a very good runner, so he's going to be good in everything. He also has very good hands. He also has separation ability in the pass game. And I also think he's a guy just mentally who can handle a lot. I don't think there's anything he can't do. Just whether it's in the pass game, the run game, blocking. I think he's a very talented player. And just watching how he plays, he's a very smart player.
Interesting that you heard Shanahan mentoring the good hands. You got to think there's so many different ways they can fit McCaffrey into this offense versatility-wise. We bring in Jeremy Fowler once again. And Jeremy, how did this deal go down? And can we expect to see Christian McCaffrey against the Chiefs on Sunday?
Well, Laura, the Panthers wanted a premium first-round pick. The 49ers basically said, we ain't got it, but we can put something on it. So they put together this huge package, second, third, fourth, fifth-round picks. L.A. Rams couldn't compete. They were in it. They didn't have enough draft capital. They tried to throw in Cam Akers, another running back, in that deal. Wasn't enough. And so right now the 49ers are going to see how McCaffrey feels and looks coming into the weekend, make a determination whether he could play. Will probably be a limited role, if so, maybe a red zone package.
Great stuff, Jeremy. I know. There we go. All right. The 49ers are facing the Chiefs this week. Arguably, no quarterback has been more effective under pressure than Patrick Mahomes this season. He throws touchdowns at the highest rate, first downs at the third highest rate, is sacked at the fourth lowest rate in the league when pressured. Those are all things he'll need to do on Sunday against this 49ers defense. They rank fourth in the league in pressure percentage this season. And Nick Bosa said he's, quote, pretty optimistic he'll be ready for this one. So, Marcus, what do you think of Mahomes facing that pressure?
He's going to have to be special. Listen, Brown struggled with Von Miller. Look, tee him up. If Nick Bosa is back, it's the worst thing that could happen for an offensive line. So I'm looking forward to see how Patrick Mahomes avoids him. But also, if Nick Bosa is 100%, having him back, though, in that lineup frees up a lot of guys elsewhere defensively, which I think is going to bode well for them trying to get this offense stopped.
And I think also when you watch Patrick Mahomes throughout his career, normally when he doesn't play well, which he did play well, just a bad turnover late, when he doesn't play the way he wants to, he usually rebounds in a big way. We saw Juju Smith-Schuster emerge last week as the go-to guy from outside of Travis Kelce. And also the run games of the Kansas City Chiefs is really underrated, but Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid have to stick with it, especially against these 49ers.
Juju on that.
Juju, you get the juju going because you're in Baton Rouge.
What is wrong with you?
He's crazy.
He's not a professional, guys.
Yeah, well, when is he ever? Let's pick this game. Chiefs or 49ers?
Who I'm going with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs find a way to win this game. Defensively, they seemed to step up last week, and it was outside of two big plays down the sideline to Phillips. I thought they did an extremely good job. But offensively, they'll continue to find ways to move the ball around and get people involved until they pick up OBJ later on in the season.
I got KC in this one.
I heard that. You said, okay, Chiefs, pick it up, OBJ. Go ahead.
Why I say that? Is that who I pick? I pick San Francisco?
Oh, no, we both picked the Chiefs. I think we got the wrong thing.
I got the Chiefs. Listen, Patrick Mahomes plays for them, right?
Yes.
Travis Kelce as well. I think the Chiefs are going to stay balanced. It really goes back to what I think offensively they actually want to be until one of these wide receivers emerge as a guy they feel comfortable with winning one-on-ones consistently. I'm going with KC 28-24.
Look, okay, so Ryan and I also picked
I picked the Chiefs, though.
We did, but I don't know what happened. Maybe we miscommunicated. Either way, you said Chiefs. I'm saying Chiefs. You said Chiefs. So maybe one of us should have picked the 49ers. But
Chiefs.
We're going to keep it on that.
I don't know. I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl when these two teams played, too, and I was not right.
All right, guys. But listen, we're here in LSU for a great reason because Ole Miss and LSU are facing off tomorrow. I want to get y'all's picks. I want to get y'all's picks in that game.
Let's go.
We do a very special college football edition of NFL Live here. Ryan, you get to go first. Who are you taking, LSU or Ole Miss?
I am taking the LSU Tigers. It's not like I would have taken another team anyway, but I actually believe this. The defense steps up. Jaden Daniels steps up. BK wants to get his SEC.
Talk to him, RC.
And me and Marcus Spears will be on SEC Network early tomorrow morning.
Yeah. SEC Nation appearance by these two. Go ahead, Swaggo. Who are you taking?
I've been waiting to get back, Boogie. You know this is where I started. This was my breeding ground. LSU by 50. That's what we're doing. I don't care what happens in the game. All I want is a W. The Tigers by 50. Yes, I said it. Did you see the big general stadium? Oak trees everywhere. LSU by 50.
Welcome to the quad.
There you have it. Not that there was ever a doubt. We'll see you on SEC Nation tomorrow with these guys and next week on NFL Live. Thanks for being with us.